From our studios in downtown Portland, Oregon, this is a Coin6 Digital exclusive.
So joining us on our writer's block today is a very fun lady. Her name is Brooke Barker, and I've interviewed her several times, both about being a quirky millennial living in Portland at the time, and then she also wrote these really fun books that we're going to talk about. Brooke, thank you so much for joining us. I know now you're in Pittsburgh, but you called Portland home for a lot of years.
Yeah, I was in Portland 5 years, and I sort of still tell people I'm from Portland just because it's my favorite place I've lived.
Is it really? And you've lived all over the place. I know you guys were just living in Amsterdam, too.
Yeah, we were just in Amsterdam, and now I've moved to Pittsburgh, which is pretty fun. Don't tell too many people about it because I think it's still sort of a secret, but we like it a lot.
Yeah, okay. So it's like Portland before Portland got, like, you know, everyone found out about it and moved here, and now our traffic is not so great. So I want to start, because I met you several years ago, and obviously we're going to talk about your books, and I understand you have a new one coming out too, so we'll want to talk about that as well. But I met you several years ago when we were doing a bunch of reports at Coin on millennials and just kind of how they're changing everything, and you and your husband, Boaz Frankel, are just so, like, just what you think of when you think of Portland. Like, you guys are just kind of doing all these, like, quirky, cool things. Boaz at the time was really focused on his it was like a bike TV talk show, from what I remember. And you were writing. You had this, like, really fun calendar, too, that had animal facts.
Yeah. Well, we've always sort of been doing a lot of fun, weird things and sort of trying to make a career out of it. So yeah, Boaz had the Pedal Powered Talk Show, which is a talk show he would go ride around on a bicycle and interview people. And we started making a daily calendar together because we just figured, why not? So we were making this calendar that instead of having one theme for the year, it's a different theme every day. So it had sad facts about animals and different puzzles and strange little cutouts.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was hilarious. You gave me one of them, and I had it on my desk because it was just like, it was something that kind of brought me joy every day. You guys are, I mean, you are just such a great couple. Did you meet in Portland?
Yeah, we did. Boaz grew up in Portland, and then we met at an ad agency there when I moved there.
Yeah, and so you were working at Wieden & Kennedy at the time as a copywriter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what kind of work did you do there that I would think kind of gave you a good foundation for what you're doing now?
Yeah, I feel Wieden & Kennedy is really like the best thing that ever happened to me. So I was a copywriter there for 5 years and worked on a lot of fun TV campaigns and just sort of web things and staying busy and writing a lot of tweets. And the good thing about advertising is every day you have to come in and make maybe 30 things, and probably all of them will die, or maybe one of them won't. So you just sort of get in the habit of, like, well, I'm just going to keep making things and hopefully something gets made. But it just sort of works these muscles of being able to make things.
Yeah, and being creative on the fly. I guess it does sound a little bit like Mad Men. I was a big Mad Men fan, only like more 2000, you know, 15 or whenever that was, right?
Yeah, just a little more drinking.
Yeah, a little more drinking. Oh, a little more drinking than Mad Men.
Not
wow,
really.
That's saying a lot, yeah. And so then what made you decide that you kind of wanted to start branching out on your own?
I started making these sad animal facts and got a book deal, which felt so lucky. And the book went pretty well, and I got to go on sort of a tour, and I got to do all these other, it got translated, and I was doing more things for newspapers. And then I got an offer for a second book deal, and it seemed like, well, this is pretty lucky. Maybe I should, it's taking up a lot of time, but maybe I should quit my job for now and try drawing animal comics full time.
Yeah, and I forget, do you do all of the illustrations yourself as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they're so amazing. And I think my favorite parts are, like, just the little, like, things the animal is thinking while you're giving this, like, really sad animal fact, because they're all so witty, which I think is obviously why your books have been so successful, because they're great if you just want some sort of, like, feel good pick up and, you know, easily flip through it type thing. But also you learn a lot. I mean, and I love that you made these YouTube trailers as well. I know books a lot of books these days, you know, novels and longer books have these trailers on YouTube, and yours are hilarious. I was watching some this morning, actually, and the chickens one, when it says chickens can die from surprise, and the mom walks in and surprises them, and they all drop dead.
Yeah, they're hilarious. Fun to make.
Yeah.
It's fun to think of things that can't quite happen in a comic or in a book.
Yeah.
So I think once you can animate this, how strange and sad could it get?
I know. How do you research all of these facts? Because there are a lot of really interesting facts that I think the only one I'd ever even heard of was that the flies vomit on their food before they can, you know, digest it. But I had not heard of so many of these facts. Where do you find all of this information?
Sort of started, well, in college I was a reference librarian, so we had a lot of downtime sitting around books, and my favorite thing to do is sort of find facts, not necessarily about animals, but I was just really into learning facts to share. And I got really into sad animal facts because there's sort of the facts about animals that people never talk about. So at first I was just sort of finding them randomly through articles or books, but now that I've been in the animal fact business a while, sometimes zoologists or researchers will email me facts, which is really fun and cool, and I'll get sort of leads on new facts that are coming out.
Yeah. So you're kind of, I mean, you've become like an amateur zoologist, right?
In some regards.
Yeah, I mean, were you always passionate about animals before all of this? I mean, I know you said you liked researching the facts in your downtime, but were you always interested in animals?
I've always liked drawing animals. My secret is I'm a little scared of animals in real life. So I think that's why I like reading about them and drawing them and thinking about things they might say, because I haven't spent a lot of time with animals outside of books.
Oh, really? Like, you don't own any pets?
We have a dog now.
You have a dog. Okay. Yeah. But that's, I mean,
and he's not scary.
He's not scary. Yeah. Well, the wide variety of animals that you feature, I mean, some I've never even heard of before. Like, some of them I was reading, I'm like, I don't even know how to pronounce this animal's name or the type of animal. Is it hard to think of just the witty little things that you say in the book, or do they come easily to you now? Because, I mean, some of these facts are pretty sad.
I feel sometimes when you hear a fact, you can just sort of picture right away, like, well, if I had this sort of affliction in my life, what would bother me the most about it? And so I just try and encapsulate that. But other times, I'll maybe be walking, I'll be at a coffee shop, and I'll hear someone say a really funny sentence, or I'll just think of something really funny, and I'll think, it would be so funny if an animal said that. How can I find a fact that will sort of relate to it? So then I'll go and look for animals that are, like, extra thirsty or never sleep or things like that, so I can match the fact to the joke I already have in mind.
Yeah, and it's just been so hugely successful. I saw that your books are in 8 different languages, and I remember when I did the Sad Animal Babies story, your second book with you, that seeing online, you're like really big in, is it Japan, I want to say, that you're huge over there?
Oh, yeah, the book sold really well in Japan, which was amazing.
Yeah.
And I couldn't have planned it.
Yeah, what is that like traveling to these? I mean, do you do book readings? Because I would imagine that a lot of the crowds in some of these places maybe don't speak English, or, you know, is that hard to do the book readings? Because I know you do a lot of those.
Yeah. In the U.S., I usually, we've done a lot, and it's been fun. And sort of I'll read a longer essay about sad animals or about just animals in general. In Japan, my Japanese is not so good. I learned a few sentences, but when I went, they did a day of interviews, and they had an interpreter named Yuki who was with me all day interpreting.
Oh, cool.
And she knew that she was going to be with sort of an animal expert, so she had printed out this list of every animal in the world and its Japanese and English names, just in case sort of an obscure animal like a numbat or a spotted hyena or something specific came up, she would know how to translate it.
Oh, I love it. And then when people ask you, because I remember when you signed a book for me, for my daughters, you asked me what their favorite animal was, and you drew it right then. Is that something that you're often asked to do, is also illustrate when you sign books, maybe someone's favorite animal?
Yeah, I like doing it. I've been practicing drawing enough that now I'm passable at drawing most animals on the fly, so it's nice to be able to draw something for people quickly. And a lot of times people have a favorite animal before they read the books, and then after they read it, they have a different, they'll find out a different favorite animal they have.
Ah, yeah, because there's so much that you probably expose them to. What is your favorite? I know you probably get asked this all the time, but what's your favorite sad animal fact or your favorite sad animal or just your favorite thing you've done in these books?
I think my favorite that nothing has really beat so far is that crows can never forget a face. So if a human wrongs them, they'll sort of remember that face their whole life. And not only will they remember it, but they can tell other crows about it. They can describe that face so that all the crows in the area can gang up on someone.
Oh, I love that. I think I might be, like, the crow might be my spirit animal, like, knowing that.
It makes you sort of want to be friendly and sort of.
Yes. I am glad I know this about crows now. Yeah. You know, it's funny because my older daughter is terrified of crows, and I think maybe they all know that and have now, like, sensed that and ganged up on her. And knowing this fact now, I'm going to share this with her when I get home.
So, yeah, they recognize her.
Yeah, and so you have a book coming out in December, right?
Yeah, Boaz and I wrote a book together. It's called Let's Be Weird Together, and it comes out in December. We're really excited.
And so what is it about? It doesn't sound like it's about animals.
This one's not about animals, although there are a lot of animals in it. Basically, we wanted to sort of write a book about relationships that was more about relationships as we knew them, which is that when you find someone who you really click with, who sort of has the same weirdness as you, instead of balancing each other out, you just sort of develop this ultra super weirdness.
And so, like, what kinds of, I mean, is it like your other books where it's like a drawing and a caption, or is it different? Is it a little more like a book, like a traditional book?
It's sort of a mix between the two. There's a lot more packed into it than the books I've done before, so every page has a lot more on it. Yeah. But we packed in a lot of sort of history about favorite weird couples, things about couples from around the world, a lot of stories about different strange couples, and sort of fun, bizarre little jokes and activities, sort of. Mm-hmm. One thing I really like about the book is when I started, we wrote it together and then I illustrated it, and I didn't want it to just be drawings of us over and over again, but I also didn't want to just imagine sort of made up different couples to go in it. So I had people online submit photos of them and their partner. So the book is filled with drawings of real couples that people sent in.
Oh, that's awesome. And so what were some of your, like, examples of just favorite weird stories that you, of love that you found out or about being a couple?
We learned one thing we really like. There's a few different, let me think of some.
I know, I'm totally putting you on the spot. You're like, I submitted this to the editor, like, months ago.
Yeah, it's funny because when you make a book, you make it, and then you wait so long for it to come out. One of the, I think the most interesting sort of as far as being similar to sad animal facts, they learn something new, is these sort of weird stories about love from history. So there's lots of strange gifts that people have given people that they're in love with. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorites is, let me think, I guess one of the things in the book is that there's a poet who is in love with someone, and she wrote them a book of poems and gave it to them, but she pretended someone else had written it. She, like, put a fake name on it because she was too nervous.
Yeah.
That's one I like. I think it was Ulysses S. Grant was dating someone, and she had a pet bird die, and so he made her a tiny homemade coffin for her bird.
Oh.
Just sort of a strange...
I mean,
early
it's thoughtful.
Dating gift.
Yeah, wow. That's there's some, like, big research going into this. What was it?
Yeah.
Did you share any stories between you and Boaz that made the book?
Yeah, Boaz. One thing Boaz wrote in that I like, that I think everyone we've talked to relates to, is that when we started dating, it was the things we both didn't like that we related to more than the things we both liked. Mm-hmm. So, living in Portland, most of our friends like swimming and sort of going to the river and just sort of swimming and hanging out for the day. And we're both terrible swimmers and we're really nervous about swimming.
Yeah.
So that was sort of what brought us together. And then we just sort of keep discovering more things we both hate throughout our relationship.
Yeah.
Which is a nice thing to share.
That is a nice thing to share. Not liking the same things is a thing to like, right?
Yeah, it's underrated.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm excited for that. Will be a good Christmas present then, because that's coming out in December, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so are you going to come back and to Portland and do any bookstore appearances for that? Or are you going on tour for that?
Yeah, we are. We're going to be going. We'll actually do a few more tour stops in January and February when it gets a little closer to Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. So we'll be in Portland at the beginning of February, I think.
Okay.
At Powell's.
You guys will have to come by COIN and I can do an update on you. You know, a positive story on you.
We'd love that.
Yeah. And so like I mentioned, you guys always have something going on. So are you already working on what's next? Are you guys doing another joint project together?
Yeah, the thing I'm working on that's next, I'm a little nervous and excited about, is I'm doing an audiobook with Audible.
Oh.
Which is just a book of essays that will come out in the first half of 2020.
And a book of essays that you have written, or what's it about?
Yeah, it's just essays I've written, and they're mostly about sort of being a nervous, overly excited teenager.
Oh, okay. And that should be interesting. Yeah, and you're not, those years aren't too far, you're not too far removed from those years because you're, like I said, a millennial, so you remember those years pretty well.
Yeah, I was a big journaler as a teenager, which is embarrassing to look back at now, but I have the period really well captured.
Oh, so you kept
unfortunately.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. That will be fun to listen to. Is Boaz planning on doing any other writing sort of projects coming up?
He's been doing a lot of video things.
Oh.
And we don't have a lot of writing stuff in the future, but hopefully there'll be something that comes up in the next year.
Yeah, I know. Well, you're more of the, you strike me as more of the, like, kind of shy about being on camera, and then he's more of the loves to be on camera, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boaz is excited that we wrote this book together, and that was fun, and now he's excited to sort of publicize it, which means making videos about it and making sort of different GIFs and articles and all kinds of on-camera things about it.
He's so funny. Yeah, well, I look forward to seeing the Facebook posts about all that. So do you guys think you're going to stay in Pittsburgh? I mentioned that you were living in Amsterdam for a time. Do you just plan on kind of going wherever the wind blows?
Yeah, we lived in Amsterdam 2 years, and then we moved here, and it just sort of reminded us how much we both dislike moving, which is another thing we have in common. Mm-hmm. So we're hoping to stay here at least a little bit so that we don't have to move yet. And, yeah, we really love Pittsburgh so far. People are really nice, and they're really ready to collaborate and make friends with everyone, which I think is something it has in common with Portland.
Yeah. What made you choose Pittsburgh, by the way? Because you don't hear of a lot of people moving to Pittsburgh from, you know, this area anyway.
Yeah. Honestly, Pittsburghers are surprised too. We heard, it was sort of that thing where you hear a new word for the first time and then you start hearing it everywhere. We heard one person mention that they had friends in Pittsburgh or heard it was cool. And then it just seemed like we were hearing about Pittsburgh every day. And it became our joke, like, well, if this doesn't work out, we'll just move to Pittsburgh and get a dog and just start an indoor garden there. And then we visited Pittsburgh and we just loved it. So we ended up doing it.
Yeah, yeah. And Amsterdam, I just went there this summer and loved it. I thought it was just the coolest city. And I'm assuming that you guys, it seems right up your alley for sure.
We loved it so much.
Yeah.
I really, sometimes I'll just be closing my eyes and imagining that I'm still walking around our neighborhood there. So I hope we can go back and visit soon. We're both obsessed with it.
Was it just a visa situation why you didn't stay longer or why you had
to? It was a mix of a few things. One is we have a lot of new nieces and nephews, and being the favorite aunt and uncle is like one of our main priorities.
Yeah.
So we need to be able to get those visits in. And also, it just seemed like maybe since our English is better than our Dutch, yeah, we might be able to pursue a few more career things here than in the Netherlands.
Yeah, I love the Dutch language, but it is pretty gnarly. Like, I couldn't understand a lot of it. So, yeah, no, but it's that is an awesome country over there for sure, and city as well.
Yeah. Now we have lots of friends to visit and stay with.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's great. So again, you have the Sad Animal Facts, Sad Animal Babies, and then what is the title of the book that's coming out in December again?
In December, it's called Let's Be Weird Together.
Let's Be Weird Together. Okay, so that's the next thing we have to look forward to, and then the Audible book coming out probably sometime next year?
Yeah, coming out probably in April next year.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm excited.
And that one doesn't have a title yet, so people want to submit a title idea in the comments.
Well, I plan on having my 12-year-old doesn't love to read, unfortunately. I don't know where I've gone wrong, but audiobooks seem to work well. So that sounds like one that's right in her wheelhouse, because she's at the kind of height of her angstiness. At least I really hope it's the height of her angstiness.
I hope there's more fake vomit in her future.
That's her angstiness. 10-year-old. Yeah, no, you're referring to a Facebook story. Yeah, we're not even, like, the 10-year-old's not even there yet. And it's going to be an interesting ride for these next several years for me in my house. So yeah, listening to your essays about your teenage years, that will maybe provide me with some laughter, right? If nothing else. Yeah. Well, Brooke,
yeah,
thank
it should
you.
Be funny.
Yeah, no, it'll be great. Thank you so much for calling in. Again, Brooke Barker, a former Portland resident, and I'm sure someday maybe you guys will be back, right? Because be back permanently, or at least for a while, because you know Boaz is from here, so.
Yeah, we're big Portland fans.
Yeah, all right. Well, Brooke, thank you for calling in. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Jenny.
Okay, we'll talk soon. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this presentation from the Coin Podcast Network. To hear more great podcasts, head to coin.com, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Did you know podcasts are reaching more than half of the households in America? Thousands of people are downloading shows from the Coin Podcast Network.
Now you can walk anywhere in Portland and know that must be Darcel.
And that number is growing every single day. That means if you advertise with us, your message would be heard time and time again by hundreds of potential customers.
I made like 500 bumper stickers that said Keep Portland Weird.
Right now, the Coin Podcast Network features podcasts on the Oregon Ducks.
Scott Reed, senior writer for Ducks Sports Authority.
The Oregon State Beavers.
I think Oregon State's going to score points. I don't think that's going to be a problem for us.
Up-and-coming authors from our area.
Is Writer's Block Podcast.
True Crime.
Collapsed and died before getting anyone's attention.
And the important role weather plays in all of our lives.
Fires that get large, 3/4 of those come from lightning.
As you are listening to this, more unique content is under development. So, if you're looking to reach a new audience and want to know what sponsorship and advertising opportunities are available, email us at coinpodcasts@coin.com.